Welcome to the Money Mastermind Show. Let's talk money.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Money Mastermind Show. This week, we have Stuart Ritter. He is a senior financial planner with T. Rowe Price. Did I get that all right?
You did.
Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Thank you for having me.
The members of the Money Mastermind Show, our panel, are Peter Anderson from Bible Money Matters and Tom Drake from Canadian Finance Blog. Our usual moderator, Glenn Craig from Free for Broke, is not here today, and Kyle Prevost from youngandthrifty.ca was unable to make it as well. So we're kind of running with a skeleton crew, but it's going to be fun anyway, right?
We'll make it happen.
All right. So one of the things that many people are worried about is investing. Many of us know that we should be investing, whether it's investing in a retirement fund or investing in something else. We know that we should be investing, but it seems really hard to get started. So in your experience, Stuart, what are some of the reasons that people have a hard time? What's holding people back from getting started with investing?
There can be a couple of things. One is the misconception that it's somehow complicated, when in reality, it's pretty straightforward. Another one could be people aren't sure where to start. And thirdly, a lot of people will often let the perfect be the enemy of the good. They're so worried that they're not picking exactly the right thing that they're supposed to do that they end up doing nothing. And it's much better to get started sooner, get things going. That gets you the opportunity to start learning a little bit, but take advantage of the potential compounding you could get by having started earlier.
So one of the things that you mentioned was stock picking and worrying about picking just the right stock. So I'm an indexer. I'm a huge fan of indexing. Do you think that maybe getting started, perhaps stock picking, isn't the way to go? Maybe you should try indexing?
If you're getting started, make it as simple for yourself as you possibly can. The example I always use is there are people who really want to get into the gear ratios of their transmission. The rest of us normal people don't care how the darn thing works. We just want to drive. So there are investments you can use that are the automatic transmission of investing. You pick one mutual fund, it gives you a collection of stocks, and that gets you started. It's much simpler than trying to do the whole thing all by yourself right from the beginning.
So what about you, Peter? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you invest? What is your investing style? How do you get started? How do you make it easier?
Like you, I'm also an indexer. I prefer to just keep things simple and get into an index fund. I've still got a pretty good time horizon for how long I'm going to be investing. So I'm going to be one of those people that's not going to try to beat the market and pick individual stocks and that type of thing. I'm invested in a couple different index funds. I've got it set my asset allocation based on my age and a couple other things, and I'm just going from there. So keeping it simple, I'm smart enough to know what I don't know and what I don't want to get involved with. And I really don't want to get too deep into the details and into the weeds with investing. So for me, doing the index fund investing is perfect.
And what about you, Tom? Where are you at? And what are kind of your options up there in Canada?
Pretty similar. I'm big on ETFs, but there's one area where I do go into individual stocks, and that being in Canada, we just don't have as many companies. So you don't necessarily need to own a lot of different stocks to actually come pretty close to some of the indexes. Like, we've got five major banks, four different real estate investment trusts almost make up the entire index for that. Like, so some of the things you can just... You can buy the individual stocks and save on the expense ratio, but otherwise I do all ETFs.
Nice. And that is one of the nice things about ETFs is they're pretty low cost, comparatively speaking, even when you compare them to an index fund. And what makes them a little bit easier than an index fund is you can trade them like stocks. But are there pitfalls to that, Stuart? You talked about, let's get a mutual fund and get your money in there. Kind of what's the difference there between the mutual fund and the ETF? And what are some of the pitfalls of being able to just maybe trade an ETF like you could a stock? I love ETFs too. I'm with Tom. I'm all about the ETF, but I can see where it could be problematic.
We're talking about lots of different tools that ultimately get people to the same place. And let me piggyback on something Peter said earlier about having a long time horizon. Let's say someone wants to get started investing for retirement. The most important decision you make is how much you have in stocks, how much you have in bonds, and how much you have in short-term investments. So if you've got that long time horizon, you want the collection of stocks. Now, whether that comes from something you mentioned earlier, a retirement fund that gives you that collection all at once, whether you assemble your own portfolio of ETFs, what's far more important is to make sure that A, you've gotten started, B, you're saving the right amount, and then C, that you've got the right asset allocation, you've got the right amount in stocks, which is, when you're younger and saving for retirement, probably going to be all of it. Nail those pieces and you're well on your way to getting to that retirement you're looking for. The last piece being diversification. You want different kinds of stocks, large companies, small companies. Well, I was going to say international companies, but I guess that depends on what nation you're starting from. But you want companies from all over the world. And how you put that collection together, that's up to your individual situation, which is the conversation we've been having.
Right. So what do you think then about one of the things that makes investing a little bit easier is the robo-advisors? And that's kind of big. I personally use one myself. I invest in Betterment. But I know that there are plenty of other robo-advisors out there, and it works for me because I'm a kind of set-it-and-forget-it kind of person, and I just want to throw the money in and move on. But that doesn't always work for everybody. So how do you know when is the right time to use a robo-advisor and when is the right time to go to somebody like yourself and, you know, do kind of some professional financial planning to get your investment plan together?
A lot of it depends on how involved you personally want to be on this. You mentioned setting it and forgetting it. At the same time, I'm going to guess you're probably a little more engaged with your investing than the average person out there. So some people, I'll go back to my transmission analogy, some people want to drive a manual transmission car. They want to be the ones that are in control, deciding when to shift, making changes over time. There are other people who say, look, you know what? Rebalancing every quarter and shifting from stocks to bonds over time and all the other things that go into it, you know what, that's not for me. So I'm either going to use a product that does a lot of that for me, something like, as you mentioned, a retirement date fund, or I'm going to get somebody to help me, or I'm going to go to a robo-advisor. You make that decision based on how involved you want to be, and not just now. We have a lot of people with a lot of enthusiasm in the beginning to get started, but you know, we're all living busy lives, and it may not be something you want to pay attention to every single quarter, and that might lead you to take an approach that does a lot of it for you instead of requiring you to stay engaged.
Tom, what made you feel a little bit more comfortable with investing when you started? I mean, were you a little bit worried about it? What made you sort of get over kind of maybe a little bit of nervousness before you started?
Well, I think it's really intimidating because you hear these stories of people making millions on penny stocks, or you see these stockbrokers in movies and everything, and it always just seems like something you can't do. But I took it really slow. I started off with a mutual fund that really wasn't a great mutual fund to begin with, just through my bank. And then once I got rid of that, here in Canada, I went with an index fund called the TD E-Series funds, which can be a little complicated to get into, but for any sort of mutual fund in Canada, it's pretty much the best expense ratio you're going to get. So it was kind of a complicated process for sure, but much easier than what you'd think just watching movies and everything.
Nice. What about you, Peter? What was your first introduction into investing and just sort of getting started and feeling more comfortable with it?
You know, I think my first investing experience was investing with my company 401k when I first started working out of college. The company that I was working for, they just had a company 401k, and they said, hey, we suggest you start putting some money in there. It's a good idea to do this. You know, I later found out that the plan they were on was not a very good plan. It wasn't actually it was kind of an annuity type, I don't know, some strange thing that really wasn't that great. But it did get me thinking about investing. And from there, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about it at the time, but I took that opportunity to start learning more about these types of things. maybe reading a few books here and there. You know, read John Bogle's book, little book of Common Sense Investing, along with a bunch of other books as well, and just started educating myself. And really, that can be one of the key things that you do when you're first getting started, is kind of taking away some of the mystery behind investing and just realizing that it isn't this crazy mystical thing that only certain people can do. It's something that everybody can do.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I like what you said about you just started and you got started, and then you found out later that maybe it wasn't your best option. And that happened to me as well. When I first opened my IRA, I did it through my insurance agent. And I bet you can guess what the administrative fees on that were. It was super fantastic. But what I learned was that I was invested in a dividend. It was a dividend heavy index fund. And so I kept, when I looked, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm still getting these dividend payments and I'm still doing okay, even though the stock market is doing crappy. I'm still, where are these dividends coming from? What is this? What does this mean? And that kind of got me going, oh, well, I can still make money even if the market's down. And it got me really thinking about it. And that's kind of how I started as well, trying to get comfortable about it. But I want to kind of circle back to something Stuart said earlier about a long time horizon and compounding interest. And if you could kind of talk about that a little bit more, Stuart, and explain how that can help people feel better about investing if they focus on that long term. Because part of, I think, the fear everybody gets is they're always getting this message of short-term volatility and what is the market doing today? And so if you could talk a little bit more about that, Stuart, about long-term and compounding interest, that would be great.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up. What people hear primarily, especially when the market's going down, is that short-term market volatility. Oh my gosh, people are losing money. And lose sight of the fact that if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s and you're saving for retirement, we are talking decades before you're spending this money. So it's important to focus on the time it is until you'll start spending the money and then the time period over which you'll be spending it. You hit 65, 67, you're not spending all of your money on that day. So here's a way to think about it. Let me do an analogy and then some numbers. Now, the analogy is, if you get on an airplane in New York and you're going to San Diego, you look at the weather in San Diego and you pack a bathing suit and sunscreen. If when you're flying over Pennsylvania, it starts getting bumpy because it's raining, you don't say, oh my gosh, I don't have an umbrella, I got to get out of the airplane and go buy one, because you're not getting out. You're waiting until you get to San Diego. So if you're in your 20s or 30s and you're not using the money for 50 years and some bald guy on TV starts yelling about what the stock market is doing today, just remind yourself you're not getting out of the airplane. When you look at the S&P 500, which is a collection, a list of 500 large U.S. companies, if you look at the way those companies have performed since 1926, they have never had a negative 15-year period. So you look at every 15-year period since 1926. That includes the Great Depression. That includes the things your parents and grandparents talked about in the 70s with gas lines and inflation. It's the tech boom. It's the 2000 bust, the 2008 downturn. All of those, every 15-year period has been positive. If you look at 30-year periods, the worst 30-year period since 1926 has been an average annual return of 8.5%. It's as if you earned 8.5% every year for 30 years, and that was the worst that you did. So yeah, sometimes the headlines are screaming, oh my gosh, short-term volatility. But when you're saving for a long period of time, historically, you've had wonderfully positive returns.
Yeah, you know, you talk about having the long time horizon and how it's so important to get started investing when you're young. But I was reading a study of millennials and how they're much more conservative investors than some of the previous generations. And I was reading that many of them are saving cash and fixed income investments much higher than previous generations. In some surveys, between 40 and 75% of their holdings. And you know, I wonder if maybe, you know, they've seen the 2008 crash and they've seen their parents losing their homes and stuff like that. When we have those downturns, you know, it really could have a damping effect on a lot of these people. They're a little bit too conservative, especially when they're getting started.
Absolutely. And if you are not investing in stocks, then what you've done is taken some of that future potential growth out of your portfolio, and that means you have to save more to make up for that growth that you're not giving yourself a chance to get because you're not in the stock market.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And one of the things to consider as well, when you're in these cash products, the problem you run into, of course, is you could lose money because we're talking about inflation here. And a lot of the time, what you're coming in is not going to be enough to help you beat inflation. And that's a real problem when you start moving on in the moving up here, because prices are always going to go up. They may not go up as fast as they did the year before. Like right now, we're in a low inflation environment. But at some point, it's going to start accelerating again, and that gets rid of the spending power that you have. And you really need to be aware of that. So what is one of the first things that somebody needs to do? Now, somebody's decided, okay, I'm not afraid of investing anymore. I'm ready to do this index fund thing. I'm going to try these crazy ETFs that Tom is talking about. What is the first thing that somebody needs to do if they want to get ready to begin investing? And do they need to have a lot of money to do it? So, yeah, do you need to have a lot of money to get started?
Of course, it depends on what you mean by a lot. It depends on whether you're opening up a regular account or a retirement account. Let me start with something that makes it really easy for people, and it's what Peter mentioned earlier, and that's if your employer offers a retirement plan, then you can get started with just 10-15% coming out of your paycheck. Now, if you're doing it on your own and you want to save for retirement, then you're opening up something called an individual retirement arrangement, an IRA, and you can go to any financial institution pretty much, open an account. There are different minimums. Sometimes they're less if you contribute every month. But we're talking maybe in the thousands. You certainly, in most cases, don't need more than that. So if people have the idea, I've got to wait until I've saved $5,000 or $10,000, you can start way before that, either through your employer's plan with just money out of every paycheck, or a couple hundred dollars, a few thousand, or even less if you sign up to contribute every month to open up one of those IRAs.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I remember when my brother was in high school, I was jealous, actually, because when I was growing up in high school and everything, my parents didn't know hardly anything about investing and mutual funds or anything like that, so I didn't have this opportunity. But my younger brothers, my parents were like, here, we can open up this account, and actually I think it was with T. Rowe Price. It said you can open up this account and you can put in 50, I don't know if this is still true that you can, but they each got their own IRAs with their first jobs in their teenage years.
Nice.
And they only had to put in, you know, like $50-$75 a month, and it was easy, and they were teenagers, and I was just sitting here going, I've only just barely opened my own IRA. What is going on here?
Yeah, the most important thing to do is just get started. One of the themes that came through all the stories that we've been hearing about the first time we invested, you've all talked about looking back and saying, well, that might not have been the best thing, but you started. You have way more money in there than somebody that saved nothing, and you learned about it on the way and improved from there. And that improvement can only start after you've begun the process.
Yep, and that's so true. And it's great to know that you can do it with a small amount of money as well, as little as $50 a month. So we'll go ahead and wrap up here. We like to do this thing called the final word. So we're going to go around and ask each of our panelists for their final word on getting started investing. Let's start with you, Tom. What is your final word?
Well, I just really wanted to add to the couple things I mentioned earlier related to how much it costs to start. With the E-Series funds, you need $100 per fund, but really you really need 3 to 4 funds for to be a balanced portfolio. So $300-$400 you can get started here in Canada on a really cheap, good index fund.
All right, great. And what is your final word, Peter?
My final word is just get started as early as you can. You know, I talked about my 401k that I started with and how it really wasn't the greatest one, had a ton of fees and all that kind of stuff. But even that, those investments that I made back way back then, you know, it's been a long time now that I think about it. That small amount of money that I put in right at the beginning has turned into tens of thousands of dollars, you know, over time. So get started early. It doesn't take a lot to get started, like we've talked about, especially nowadays. There are a ton of financial products, you know, the Betterments and Wealth Fronts of the world, and investment companies like T. Rowe Price and Vanguard and other companies as well that are have some index funds that you can jump into, you know, for $1,000, maybe a little bit more. So just get started. Start putting in as much as you can, and let the wonders of compound interest do the work for you.
That's great. And finally, Stuart, why don't you give us your final word and then tell us a little bit more about what you do and where our audience can find you.
My final word would be to keep it simple. If you're getting started, choose a fund like a target date fund, retirement date fund. They go by a couple of names. But you can start with just one mutual fund that's a collection of all the investments that might be appropriate for your goal. And from that core, if you want to then start branching out into specific ETFs or funds that focus on just one index or individual securities, then you've got that base that you can build on to add those things in. But in the very beginning, keep it simple. Get yourself started, as Peter said, and go from there. Companies that we've talked about are obviously willing to help you. T. Rowe Price would be one of them. Feel free to give me a call if you'd like. My direct number is 410-345-5225, and we would be happy to help you.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you everyone out there for watching and for listening. And until next week, be good with your money. Good night.
Thanks for joining us on the Money Mastermind Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube and follow us on Google+.